Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
We're reading the Holy Scriptures again from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, the verses 21 through 34. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things by many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. This ends the reading of Holy Scripture. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, the account of Jesus healing the woman with the issue of blood, which we just read, is the third of a series of 4 miracles. And the purpose of these 4 miracles is to illustrate the divine power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first of these miracles is recorded at the end of Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And there we have the account of the calming of the wind and the waves of the sea in Galilee. In this miracle, Jesus demonstrates his power over danger, specifically the danger posed by nature. The second of these miracles is recorded in Mark 5, the verses 1 to 20, and it records the miracle of the restoration of the demoniac of Gadara. And in this miracle, Jesus demonstrates his power over demons. And now in this third miracle, the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus demonstrates his power over disease. And in the fourth and final miracle, the raising of the daughter of Jairus, Jesus demonstrates his power over death. Now, significantly, as you will have noticed, Mark sandwiches the miracle of the healing of the woman with the issue of blood in between the miracle of the healing of Jairus' daughter. And he does that for at least 2 reasons. First of all, he does it to make his account more lively and exciting. The account of the woman with the issue of blood adds to the suspense as we are forced to wait to see what will happen to the daughter of Jairus. Secondly, he does this to teach us that there is a close connection between these 2 accounts, and that's apparent even on the surface. Both accounts involve women, one young and one older. Both accounts involve a sickness that was humanly hopeless and incurable. And also, both accounts refer to the number 12. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. The woman with the issue of blood had suffered for 12 years. In fact, one cannot rightly preach on the story of the healing of Jairus' daughter without at least mentioning the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. But there's so much in this account that we can learn that we'll consider both of them separately. Today, we'll consider the account of the woman with the issue of blood, and next week, the Lord willing, the account of the healing and the raising of the daughter of Jairus. And so with the Lord's help, let's reflect for a few moments on the words of our text under this theme, Jesus cures an incurable woman. And we'll consider, first of all, the faith he rewards, secondly, the confession he requires, and thirdly, the blessing he bestows. The Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples had just landed on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. They had recently returned from the region of Gadara on the eastern shore of the sea where Jesus had restored the demoniac. And upon landing, a great multitude gathered on the shore to see him. And Mark writes, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea." Well, as Jesus disembarked, suddenly there emerged from the crowd a man by the name of Jairus. He was a ruler of the local synagogue, and as such, he was a very prominent and very religious man. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly that he would come and heal his daughter, who was at the point of death. And Jesus, hearing this, agreed. Well, on the way back to Jairus' home, a woman approached him from behind. Mark tells us two things about this woman. First of all, she had an issue or a flow of blood for 12 years. Now, what caused this flow of blood, we don't know. Whatever the case, it caused her considerable pain and discomfort. It also made her very weak. And one can only imagine how many liters of blood she lost over the years as a result of this terrible affliction. What is more, this affliction made her ceremonially unclean. According to the law of Moses in Leviticus 15, a woman who had a discharge of blood was considered to be unclean for as long as she had the discharge. During this time, no one was allowed to touch her or have any direct contact with her. And if they did, or even if they touched anything that the woman sat or lay on, they had to wash their clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. What is worse, this woman was in such a condition, and in this condition, she was not allowed to enter into the temple precincts. She was an outcast to both man and God. Secondly, Mark tells us that she had suffered many things of many physicians. Now, it was common practice in those days to consult with many doctors when suffering from a serious illness, and that's exactly what this woman did. She consulted all kinds of doctors, and they each prescribed a certain treatment, and many of them were crude and at times loathsome and painful. In fact, she spent every penny she had on doctors and treatments and medications, but it was all to no avail. And rather than get better, she only got worse. And then one day, this woman had an idea. She would go to Jesus. No doubt she had heard many things about Jesus. She had heard about the miracles that he had performed, and perhaps she herself even witnessed some of them. And she thought to herself, "Well, if anyone can help me, surely it is Jesus. If I can only touch his clothes," she thought, "I will be healed." And so that's what she did. She went to Jesus. And as she made her way to where Jesus was, she noticed a large crowd gathered around him. And how discouraging that must have been for her. How would she ever get close to Jesus with such a large crowd gathered around him? She didn't know. But she was also not deterred. With steely determination, she pushes and shoves her way through the crowd until at last she was right behind where Jesus was. And then reaching forth her hand, she touched his garment. Matthew and Luke in their accounts say she touched the border or the hem of his garment, and in an instant she was healed. In verse 29 we read this, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Notice what Mark says, she was not only healed of her affliction, but she felt that she was healed. Now, needless to say, this was quite a daring move for this woman. And that's because, as we've already seen, she was unclean. By pushing and shoving her way to Jesus, she made many of the crowd unclean as well. And by touching Jesus' garment, she made him unclean too. But none of that mattered to her. Nothing and no one would stop her from going to Jesus. Now, we can learn at least two things here. We learn, first of all, what great power Christ has over disease. Think of this woman. She had consulted many doctors. She had tried various treatments and remedies, but her condition only grew worse. Humanly speaking, her condition was utterly hopeless. But what man could not do, Christ did. He healed this woman himself. And what is more, he did so without doing or saying anything. He didn't lay his hands on her. He didn't even speak to her or even look at her. She simply touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. Now we have here a great encouragement, don't we, to come to Christ, either for the first time or again. We're just like this woman, aren't we? Oh no, we don't all have an issue of blood, to be sure, but we are all unclean. Not ceremonially, but spiritually. Not just outwardly, but inwardly as well. We are unclean on account of our sin, our original sin and our actual sin, our sins of thought, our sins of word, our sins of deed, our sins of omission, and our sins of commission. We are all as an unclean thing. And that's why we cannot stand before God. But just like this woman in our text, we can be made clean. How? Well, there are people who try to make themselves clean by doing good works or performing some outward religious duties and ceremonies. And they think that in some way this will make a difference, that they will at least diminish the severity of their uncleanness. But that's not true. There's only one way that we can become clean and whole, my friends, and it is by laying hold of Christ by faith, just like this woman did. We must look to him and his atoning sacrifice on the cross as the only hope and ground of our salvation. And when we do that, then he does what we cannot do for ourselves. He takes our uncleanness upon himself, and in return, he gives us his cleanness. He gives us his perfect righteousness, the righteousness that he earned by living a perfect life in obedience to all the commandments of God, such that we can stand before God as though we had never sinned. Well, my friend, have you ever done that? Oh, make no mistake, this is something we do not merely do at the beginning of spiritual life when we first come to faith in Christ. No, this laying hold on Christ is something that we must do every day again. For every day again, we make ourselves unclean by our sin. And every day again, therefore, we must touch the hem of Jesus' garment. We must look to him and him alone for cleansing from sin and uncleanness. As long as we sin, we must touch the hem of the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, we learn here that even the weakest faith can accomplish great things. This woman is a case in point. In some sense, this woman had great faith. She believed that Jesus could heal her. She even believed that he could heal her simply by her touching the hem of his garment. And she was so convinced of this that she pushed and shoved her way through the crowd in order to get close to him, totally oblivious to the fact that she would make everyone else unclean. But at the same time, her faith was not perfect. In the first place, she believed she actually had to touch Jesus' garment in order to be healed. What she didn't seem to understand was that it was not Jesus' garment that could heal her, but it was Jesus himself. Secondly, she approached him secretly. She seemed to believe that had she approached him directly, that he would not have healed her, because she would have made him unclean, and on both accounts she was wrong. But the Lord rewarded her faith anyway. She got what she wanted. She was completely made whole. And as mentioned, this is a great comfort. Some people seem to think that only a very strong and even assured faith saves. But if this story teaches us anything, my friends, it teaches us that that is not true. Even the weakest faith is rewarded by Christ. Even the weakest faith saves. All that is required is to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Now, in spite of the weakness of her faith, Jesus rewarded it. This woman was healed of her disease. But our Lord was not done with this woman. He not only wanted her to exercise her faith, he also wanted her to confess it publicly. And that brings us to our second point. Immediately after the woman touched Jesus' clothes, Jesus felt something strange. Mark tells us that virtue or power had gone out of him. Now, what that means exactly, we cannot say. In a way that we cannot fully explain, every time the Lord Jesus performed a miracle, power went out of him. And that was the case here as well. As soon as this woman touched Jesus' clothes, power went out of him. And sensing this, Jesus stopped and turned around and said, Who touched my clothes? Now, needless to say, the disciples were amazed at this question. We read in verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? The disciples did not understand what Jesus was talking about. A multitude was indeed thronging him. People were pushing and shoving in order to get a closer look at him, perhaps to ask him for healing or some other favor. And as a result, Jesus was touched by many people. So the disciples wondered, how then can he ask who touched me? But Jesus paid no attention to the question of his disciples. He knew, of course, that many people had touched him and were continuing to touch him. But this touch was a special touch. This was a touch of faith. And Jesus knew this because he felt virtue, he felt power go out of him. And he wanted to know who it was that touched him in this way. And so he asked, Who touched my clothes? The original Greek suggests that he kept on asking this question. Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? Some have wondered, why did Jesus ask that question? Was he not divine? Did he not therefore know who had touched him? Well, of course he did. Jesus is indeed divine. He's God incarnate, and as such he knows all things. So why did he ask who touched me? Well, he did so because he wanted the person who touched him also to confess him publicly before men. You see, confessing Christ is essential to salvation. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus said this, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We must confess Christ. It is absolutely essential to salvation. Why? Because it is the proof of the genuineness of our faith. True faith must result in public confession. Where there is no public confession, there is no true faith. And Jesus understood this, and that's why he asked, Who touched my clothes? It was like he was asking, Come on, out with it. Whoever you are, you touched my clothes, and that's good, but now you must also confess me before men. Therefore, make yourself known. Answer my question. Who touched my clothes? Now, Mark doesn't say this, of course, but I imagine that at that instant, the crowd grew silent, so silent you could hear a pin drop. And how uncomfortable this woman must have felt. It was one thing to touch the hem of his garment. That was relatively easy. It was quite another to confess Christ before all of these people. And maybe she said to herself, Well, what will people say and think? Especially after they found out that I have an issue of blood and was therefore unclean and that I had touched them. Oh no, better to simply blend in with the crowd and hope that Jesus will forget about it and keep on walking to Jairus' home. But Jesus would not allow this. He stood there waiting and waiting, and he kept on asking, Who touched my clothes? My friend, is Jesus asking you the same question today? We're not totally unlike this woman, are we? We don't like to stick out too much. We prefer to stay in the background, meld into the crowd, go with the flow. But Jesus says, No. If you want to be a true follower of me, you must confess me publicly. If you really have true faith in him, you must confess him before men. You must declare before the world that you are one of my disciples. Oh, my friend, have you done that? Are you doing so in your place of work, in your home, at school, wherever the Lord has placed you? Are you publicly confessing that Jesus is the Son of God and that you are a disciple of his? This is what Jesus requires. This is what he required also of this woman. Well, how did she respond to this? That brings us to our third and final point. Jesus wanted to know who had touched him. And after waiting for what must have seemed like an eternity, the woman finally stepped forward. And we read in verse 33, But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Notice how she came to Jesus. She came fearing and trembling. Why did she come like that? Why did she come fearing and trembling? Well, obviously, because she had touched Jesus without his permission. What is more, she understood that in doing so, she made him unclean, at least until the evening. And she also had made all the other people she had touched unclean as she jostled her way to Jesus. And so the woman, knowing this, was afraid of what Jesus might say. Would he be angry at her? Would he rebuke her for this? Would he even withdraw the healing he had bestowed on her? She didn't know. And what about the crowd? How would they respond? Would they also be angry at her? The woman didn't know. All she knew was that she could not stay silent any longer. She had to confess Christ and let the chips fall. And that's exactly what she did. For we read further that she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Notice she did not try to justify herself. She did not try to explain away her actions. She was completely open and honest. She told Jesus everything. And what is more, she did so on her knees, Mark says. She fell down before him. Now, to fall down before someone, of course, is a posture of great humility. And this is the posture that this woman adopted. You see, she knew that she did not deserve anything from the Lord. She knew that she deserved only his wrath and his condemnation, not only for her lack of faith, but also for transgressing the law of Moses. And so she assumed the posture of someone who was truly penitent. She fell down before him, and she told him everything. Oh, my friend, do you know something of this in your own life? Have you ever fallen down before the Lord Jesus and told him everything? Told him everything about your past, all about your sins of thought, your sins of word, your sins of deed, the many times that you have failed to live up to your confession of Christ? Oh, tell it all to Jesus. Do as this woman does. Fall down before him. Tell him everything, and he will hear, and he will forgive. You say, how do I know that? Well, look at how Jesus responded to this woman. How did he respond? We might have thought that he would have rebuked her, but he does no such thing. Look at what we read in verse 34. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Oh, you notice the tender way in which Jesus addresses this woman. He calls her daughter. This is the only place in the Gospels where Jesus addresses a woman by the word daughter. Why does he call her daughter? Well, because by her act of faith, she had entered into a spiritual relationship with him. She became his child and an heir of all the blessings of his salvation. And what was true of this woman is true of every single person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment we come to trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior and King, that is the moment that we are adopted into his family. That is the moment that we become sons and daughters of God and heirs of everlasting life. You notice, too, how Jesus praises her for her faith. "Thy faith hath made thee whole," he says. That's an amazing statement. As we've seen, this woman's faith was not strong at all. In fact, it was very weak and imperfect, and yet Jesus commended her for it and even attributed the cause of her healing to it. And to be sure, it was not her faith that made this woman well. She was made well by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But her faith was the instrument by which she was healed. And that's why Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." And we see here something, don't we, of the power of true and living faith. If this woman's faith, which was very imperfect, was able to secure healing from her affliction, then how powerful faith is. Jesus said on another occasion that if we had faith the size of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. And this woman was a case in point. Her faith, though weak, though imperfect, did what no doctor could do, what no amount of money could buy. It secured her healing from her terrible affliction. And my friend, if that was true for her, then it's also true for us. It is not only strong and assured faith that saves, it is also weak and imperfect faith. And therefore, we have every assurance that when we flee to Christ, he will not cast us away, But he will bring us to himself, and he will restore us and forgive us and adopt us as his child. Well, after telling Jesus everything, Jesus said to the woman, "Go in peace." Literally, the Greek says, "Go into peace." For many years, this woman had experienced nothing but a lack of peace. She experienced nothing but pain and sorrow. She had no peace at all. But now that she had come to become a child of God, she could enter into a new life of peace. She could be at peace in her body, but also within her soul. What is more, she could enter into this peace, knowing that her disease would never return to her again. For Jesus said to her, "Be whole," meaning remain whole of thy plague. And by those words, Jesus assured this woman that the healing that she had experienced would never be taken away from her. She was made whole and would remain whole until the day of her death. The healing that Jesus had accomplished was total and complete. And so it is for all who trust in him. Whoever, like this woman, comes to the Savior with fear and trembling and cries out for him for salvation will have peace with God, the forgiveness of sins, and everlasting life. And what is more, they will go into this peace assured that the disease of sin that formerly afflicted them and caused them so much pain will one day be abolished forever. And they shall see Christ and be like Christ, and they shall live and reign with him forever. Oh, let me ask you as I close, do you desire this peace for yourself? There's only one way you can have that peace. That's by looking away from yourself and looking to Christ. He is the only one who can make you clean. He is the only one who can heal and restore and forgive. He is the only one who can give you the peace that you need. And so I urge you, go to him. The Lord is still here. He's still waiting to be called upon. See him as he goes, thronged by the multitude. Oh, go to him. Force your way to him if you have to. Touch the hem of his garment, and your faith will make you whole. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Leman Road. Leman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or give me a call at 778-982-9102. Please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, won't you please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio, that's all one word, bannerofTruthRadio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about our churches, including who we are, what we believe, and where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Leman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. Thank you for listening. And now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.